All right, we're going to continue on the grace of God, and this is one of my favorite studies in the grace of God. We're going to begin with John chapter 1, and then we'll look and we'll move into grace for justification, Romans chapter 5, Romans chapter 3, in our right standing before God, and then grace for growing, grace in our daily living. We'll look at sanctifying grace and living by grace, which includes humility and faith, grace for fruit, grace for good works. And then we'll talk about the forgiving grace of God in Matthew 18. We'll look at Galatians 6:1 in restoring fallen brethren. And then we'll conclude with Zechariah chapter 4. And so let's go ahead and begin with the grace of God. And I wanted to give you a little bit of my history, my background. The pastors to me that introduced me to the grace of God was Pastor Chuck Smith. In 1995, I was introduced to Pastor Chuck when I got out of the Army, and I went to Raul Ryse Church, and I began serving there and studying there. And then I went to a Sunday night chapel up at Twin Peaks at the Bible College. And that's when, you know, I really felt Pastor Chuck was going to be a spiritual grandfather to me. And I did kind of, I don't know if you want to say adopt him in that manner, but I ended up moving to the Bible College, and I spent a lot of time at Twin Peaks, Murrieta. I helped with a couple of extension campuses, and more than that, I did ministry around the world and under the care or teaching or on payroll with Calvary Costa Mesa, Pastor Chuck Smith, who I would call a spiritual grandfather, and a special place in my heart, and really rescued me by not allowing my life to get caught up in a denomination or in a letter of the law, legalistic teaching, but I understood grace first through Pastor Chuck Smith. And then that's where I met, in 1998, I met Pastor Bob Hoekstra, who for some reason or another, the Lord just knit our hearts together. And he had a secretary that I fell in love with. She's now my wife. And Jennifer was his secretary. And then I ended up, I was an intern for Bob. That's how I met Jenny. And then he became like a spiritual father to me. And so I spent a lot of time. I was his assistant pastor. He ordained me, and I learned to teach his seminars and traveled with him around the world. And here in the United States at many churches. And he had a great passion, as well as Pastor Chuck, for the topic of the grace of God. And so what they taught about was not merely grace for being saved, but grace for daily living. And that's what really impacted me. And I began my journey in the 90s on this journey, this walk in the grace of God. And so let's begin with just a little bit more of a discussion on that. Grace is important. It's very important to me because I started out with grace, and it's a theme that has woven itself through my life, and it's touched my life in a deep way. So I love teaching on the grace of God. I underestimated grace when I was first saved. Actually, I didn't even understand much of Christianity. I was saved from a heathen background. And I understood that I was saved, and there was nothing I could do to earn it. And I think we all understand that when we first get saved, that moment, there's nothing we can do to earn salvation. right standing with God, how to get to heaven. It's all a complete gift of God. And that's why Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9 are so relatable. For by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. What a message to rejoice in and find rest in and know that he's done it. It's a done deal. And that's really my extent of grace early on, until I went to Bible college, until I met and read Why Grace Changes Everything, until I met Pastor Bob Hoekstra and took some of his courses. And, you know, so I always thought grace means forgiveness and had to do with being born again and eternal life. And yes, it's related to that. But what I realize is that that's just the very beginning, and it's not limited to that. And so it's really just the start of the Christian life. We're to continue in grace. And really, I pray that you would explode in this topic of the grace of God. Now, if you turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 1, verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And so here's the grace of God pertaining to Jesus. I always bring it back to the preeminence of Christ, and it's about him. And this is the Word, who is the Son of God, who is God the Son. The Word became flesh. God became a man, and he dwelt among us, or literally tabernacled among us, or you could say pitched his tent and lived with us as we live. And Jesus walking here on earth, and people looked upon him, and they viewed him a lot of times according to the flesh, hey, just another man, a carpenter's son, an itinerant preacher. But anybody that was willing to receive eyes and an open heart to see, ears to hear, this is what drew them to the Lord Jesus Christ. It was his grace. We beheld his glory, it says. In this verse 14, he dwelt among us and we beheld his glory. He did look just like an ordinary man, but people really, when they got to know him, beheld him, saw that this was more than just a man. They beheld his glory. It was the glory of the Lord. That's what drew the disciples. What kind of glory? Majesty. It was, it says here, as the only begotten of the Father. In other words, uniquely begotten. I mean, you and I are begotten of the Father, but he is the only begotten. Only begotten like he was. He was begotten of the Father, conceived of the Virgin Mary by the Holy Spirit, but he had an eternality or an eternal history preceding him, and we did not. We didn't have a history preceding our birth, except in the mind of God that he's known as before, we were knit together in mother's womb, and we weren't conceived in the Holy Spirit in the womb. And so we're begotten of God, born again a second time by the Spirit from above. But Jesus is the only begotten, or the uniquely begotten. No one born of God among men like Jesus. And so we beheld his glory. The glory is that of the only begotten of the Father. And so he is like the Father, like Father, like Son. Jesus said, you have seen me, you have seen the Father. And they were of the same identity and manifested in two different ways, both God, but that they talk the same, they think the same, they love the same, their characters the same. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father, because the Father, we're told in John 14:10, was doing the works right through Jesus. And so when they saw Jesus live, they were literally watching the Father at work. John 1:14 continues, they beheld the glory of the Lord, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And so we beheld the majesty and the glory of the Lord Jesus. And when he came, he was full of grace and truth. Truth, reality, what real truth is. And his life was overflowing with grace. And I believe because that's the heart of God. Heart of God is grace. And this eternal reality and the grace that it produces in lives. And so the Lord Jesus was full of grace, the fullness of God dwelling in him. John chapter 1, verse 16, and of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. What was his fullness? It says here it was grace. And of his fullness, we, believers in Jesus Christ, have all received. So it's when we come to the Lord that we find him pouring out fullness to us. And what is that fullness? Grace that brings truth, grace that brings reality. And of his fullness, we've all received grace upon grace. Every Christian, of his fullness, we have received grace for grace. That's my testimony. That's your testimony. That's all of our testimony. The whole Christian life is grace upon grace upon grace, another layer of grace, and then another one, and then another one, and one more, and another. And it will be that way until the Lord Jesus Christ takes us home, whether in the rapture or through death. It'll be grace upon grace. The fullness that the Lord brings to us is the fullness of the grace of God. And what we receive from the Lord is of that fullness. He gives us grace. And so it's not just now that you're forgiven, you have a new life. It was given, but it's layer upon layer upon layer. And that's what we're going to see by way of introduction to the grace of God. So we've introduced God's grace in John chapter 1, verse 14, verses 17, and then we circled back and looked at verse 16. Now we're going to take a look at the sanctifying grace of God in Romans chapter 5. So go ahead and grab your Bibles, and we'll be right back for our next episode of the grace of God in justifying us, Romans chapter 5. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. Turn with me to Romans 5, 1 and 2, and we'll be right back for that study. Bye for now.